Hello, this is Fesshole. Cue the jingle. Welcome to the Fesshole podcast, where Rob Manuel and David Stevenson take this week's most terrible confessions and they cringe at the horror of it all. I'm Rob Manuel and I've been running this Fesshole account for 5 years.
And I'm David Stevenson and I get dragged into Rob's projects regardless of whether I want to or not.
And we've been friends since 1980.
Regardless of whether I want to or not.
Dave, you're going to be my friend until you die.
Oh.
And then your corpse will be the friend of my corpse, and then we're going to be in hell and we'll be bosom buddies in hell. Should we get graves together?
Have you not got one already?
Should we have a suicide pact? Are you going to be sad when I die, Dave?
I'm planning to die before you.
Do you reckon you will die before me?
I'll race you.
Okay.
Make it interesting.
What was going through my head earlier today? Because I was looking at, you know, obviously we're at an age where parents are dying. You know, both of my parents are dead. Like the peer group, you know, parents are all popping off now. And like every other day, I notice on social media, like another friend's parents, they go, oh, they're dead, kind of thing. And it's just like going, oh, God, this is going to happen to us. You know, another 30 years, 20 years, whatever. And our kids are going to be posting up messages on some god-awful virtual reality unicorn simulator going, so sad for dad.
Yeah, a little emoji going, this is the sad that your parent has died emoji.
And little unicorn funerals following a gif of their dead dad or something.
See, we're going retro, aren't we? With a MIDI funeral march. And it's what he would have wanted. It's what he loved. The music that he loved.
But it is going to happen, isn't it? Because it's like, you know, we've gone through the years and now we're sort of like on social media and our kids are kind of like have come through on TikTok or something. They're never going to leave that shit. They're going to just be living out their lives. Either they'll be having meetings in Minecraft. You know, that generation will come up and they'll be like just doing their business meetings in Minecraft or whatever. It's how the world's going to work, isn't it?
It's like Mad Max Fury Road.
Well, yeah, but it'd be like impossible to like understand any politics. Some MP will get to prominence because he's big in some unicorn computer game. It's always back to the unicorns.
It is, isn't it? What's this fixation on unicorns lately? But yeah, that's already happened, hasn't it? There's been like Twitch streamers and stuff gone into politics, I think.
Yeah.
You're describing the trends of the past, old man. I don't know what the kids will get up to, but I can't even begin to understand it. That's the experience of becoming like a boomer.
Down with kids.
Yeah.
Just some confessions that caught our eyes. Just some confessions that caught our eyes.
Are you impressed with that jingle, Dave? Your face of horror. Okay, so it's four confessions that caught our eyes. So number four, got divorced 6 months ago, separated for a year before that, over 40, overweight and bald. As expected, I've not slept with anybody since. I spend most of my free time watching porn and playing Football Manager, sometimes at the same time. It's been the best 18 months of my life, honestly.
Gooning, if it's the right, what's the football team that's the gooners?
That's Arsenal, isn't it? I think, but I can't do football chat.
It's sports knowledge on show here.
What I wanted to bring this one up for is it's like running Fesshole has given me this insight. There's been a real theme of people submitting stuff about how they're skiving off from work and playing Football Manager. There was one where some guy said he'd actually rented an office and was going in there like 2 days a week to hide from his wife to play Football Manager. There's like millions of men out there in this country who are living a fantasy life where they are managers of football teams. It's an endemic thing where men are escaping into this world. And I was looking at this and I was just thinking, basically, there's all these people hiding in this world of Football Manager. And I was looking at it and I was just jealous because it's like, I can't go to that world because I just don't understand football and it doesn't occur to me to even want to be a football manager. And it's fundamentally unfair that there isn't the product out there for me where I can live in a world where I get to manage or be part of the KLF. And there's like KLF Bill Drummond manager. And if you go back in time, if you go back into the 80s, these products did sort of exist because you had like the Football Manager games, the ZX Spectrum, but you also had pop music simulators called things like Rockstar Ate My Hamster. But it just died. It died at that point. It didn't go on into the 90s and beyond. So there's just nothing out there. That's my sad point.
Why is that? People like music. Why don't they like to pretend to be a manager of a To pretend to be the manager of Jason Donovan. Why not?
I think you're answering your own question there.
I think I did, unfortunately.
Yeah, but surely.
Like football managers, I never played the game myself, but isn't it basically making a spreadsheet work nicely?
I believe so. But people like they talk about having these saves for like 15 years and they've been managing this team all through this time. And, you know, like one of the worst things you could do apparently is like deleting someone's save they've been working on.
I bet, yeah. I mean, it's a hobby shed stuff, isn't it?
Building your little ship in a bottle.
It's not cool like painting Space Marines, but it's that kind of kind of impulse.
So your fantasy, if you could have any bit of your fantasy life turned into a computer game, would be painting Space Marines, the computer game?
I guess. I think one of the things I did that's probably the nerdiest thing I've ever done, as you know, that's not a low bar. Making a Gundam, one of those plastic models. Basically, you can get these incredible... It was based on a cartoon character like when I was a kid, and I thought, well, this will be a fun thing to do. And I didn't realise kind of what the hobby entailed, which is incredibly detailed plastic kits of these robots that you don't glue. They all snap together, and you get like a page of instructions, like a massive sheet of instructions in Japanese. And then your job is to cut the thing off the sprue with your scalpel and then clip it together. And then you construct out of tiny little pieces this elaborate robot that its arm falls off if you move it too quickly. It's like a dance or something if you don't have any rhythm. It's a meditative exercise. And I didn't realize that. And I'm quite a kind of obsessive guy. So I basically didn't sleep for a week and I made this thing. Yeah, it nearly killed me not doing that again. But it's like I see the value of it.
This is like a 3D jigsaw that builds a robot you're doing here.
Essentially that, yeah. Yeah, but it's like every piece is needlessly small. Like if there was a steering wheel, it would be the middle of the steering wheel, then every little bit that goes outside the steering wheel, and then the outside, and then a little tiny cover that goes on it. It's just so small, no one would ever care about it, because the point of it is you're clipping it and clipping it together in a satisfying way, and then you do it for a little bit, and then you've got your little thing you control in your life, which is a miniature giant robot.
I do think it's solid. I think if you can make this into an online version that you can download for £50 for each updated robot, you're going to be a billionaire, Dave. The third confession that caught my eye this week, I'll read this one out. Each time I was at Coventry Station, I'd buy a first-class single to Birmingham International, which cost £2.10. Then I'd make use of the free hot drinks and biscuits in the first-class lounge. It was a lot cheaper than using the station cafe. The lounge is now closed. I'm probably responsible. And this one caught my eye for a couple of reasons. Like, one, all the comments were going, it's obviously not true because no first class is like £2.10. But I looked into it and like the trip from Birmingham to Coventry now first class is about £4.70 or something. So it's obviously like 10, 20 years ago. And then I thought, can we do this locally? You know, can I do this in London and get free drinks? So I looked it up and in King's Cross, there's a first-class lounge you can sit in and they'll give you free drinks if you've got a first-class ticket. But they're wised up to this stuff and you have to have a ticket over the value of £10 to be allowed into the place.
But that's how many drinks is that?
Want to sit there and drink four coffees and wee yourself in front of the mid-priced businessman.
It's not the champagne bar then, where you get free oysters and champagne and just...
No, I think it's like a free bis coffee and some filter coffee in it.
I think I've got a distorted idea of what first class is on a train, to be honest with you. I know they have the cloths on the back of the seats and that's what posh people have.
I think most of my ideas of like first class are like from watching like old films, like Brief Encounters or something.
You have to have a kind of unspoken love affair with somebody at the...
Hey, my train fact about class system in trains is like in those old trains, they would have like three classes, first, second and third.
Mm.
And now we have like first class and standard class. And we're actually in third class with standard class because what they did was they got rid of second class. They didn't get rid of the third class.
They treated them like second class citizens.
We got shunted down as the people not buying the poshest to the lowest bit and they got rid of the middle.
The train was the Titanic, then we'd be in steerage.
Yes. God. Yes.
Just like Leo DiCaprio. I like this kind of thing. And I do want to find other little hacks like that. There is obviously like those people who do like platinum status things. They're kind of flying reward point stuff, which, you know, you just go to New York and you sit on the runway for like 3 hours, then you fly back again. And it's
doing the arms.
Yeah, just literally on the runway.
Landing the 47s with you.
They need all the help they can get. But yeah. So you just sort of go to like Hong Kong and you're there for an hour and then you come back again and you've got 7,000 points. And I don't know what you gain from that, actually. I think you just get to use the lounge.
You can go and pee in the finest toilets around the world. There was a Chinese man, there was the headline knocking around going, which said, Chinese man eats 300 free meals on one flight ticket for which he gets full refund. So what the hack
he was dead.
He wasn't doing it all at the same time. So the hack he was doing was like he bought a first class ticket and then he would go and get his free meal in the lounge and then he would cancel his ticket or like, you know, get it moved to another date. And he just kept going back for his free yum yums.
That must be good food. I mean, it's not like getting to the airport's easy, is it? £50 taxi fare just to get up there. Then it's like, oh, well, I've got my burger.
Maybe you worked in the Threshers or something.
It's like that. It reminds you from when reward points went wrong. And there was all those stories of people going to the supermarket and buying every banana and they would be paid 16 pence to take the bananas away. Like, it's worth it.
My parents did one in the 80s where like there was a thing where if you bought a Hoover, you could get a free flight. And they'd done this thing where it turned out the flight was of like, I don't know, the Hoover was £80 and the flight was worth £120. And so the uptake was absolutely massive. And it nearly sent Hoover bust because they were trying to cancel it. They were like stuck on this thing, having to pay out. My parents were like, you know, sending them letters for like 6 months demanding their flight and stuff. They're stuck with a shitty Hoover.
A few like that before they realise that you don't put the winning code on every 50 like Hoovers or whatever. There's been a few scandals like that. Do you remember the baked bean wars?
No.
Like it's an old person thing. Remember the baked bean wars? We were in the, again, it was a reward point they went wrong where some reason all the supermarkets decided they were going to drive each other out of business using baked beans and they slashed the prices so they were paying you
to buy. So it was like a loss leader thing.
It was a loss leader. They were paying you to take away baked beans, but then they would only allow you to take away two cans of baked beans. It was a very strange, I was a student at the time.
You were a student at the time and you bought so many beans that...
Now I'm dead.
Okay, excellent. At number two in the ones that caught my attention this week or caught our attention this week was I'm a delivery driver. Just in case you wondered, TV and radio presenters live in normal houses. Musicians who've had a little bit of success live in big houses with a grand piano somewhere on show and answer their own door. And very rich people have staff and you never see them. And this just rung true to me. It's like the only thing that came to mind really was that through knowing a couple of comedians, one comedian told me he was once called to Jimmy Carr's house and he was greeted by Jimmy Carr's butler. Who was like, just showed him into the room. It was like, Jimmy, you'll sit with you in half an hour. So would you like a drink?
I remember reading in the FT about how becoming a butler was a really good kind of career move. And I looked at like how much they earn and I was like, oh, that is actually doing much better than me. I guess I could aspire to be a butler.
I think that'd be a solid podcast if you could butle by day and then tell the secrets of the rich by night.
It would be called Ask Jeeves and tell you the...
We could do a newsletter for it as well and call it Asky Jeeves.
The guy's a delivery driver, so maybe he's saying normal houses. What is a normal house? Maybe delivery drivers live in amazing houses. And it's just he's calibrated it wrong.
Yeah. So what was it? The normal TV presenters live in normal houses. So I remember seeing some guy who ran an ad agency and he lived in the house you'd see as a normal house if you were very rich, kind of thing.
House you see as a normal house in a Paddington film.
Exactly. I've got an unverified reply from Andy Gray here about the delivery driver. And he says, I used to be an engineer for Zanussi. I had a Christmas Eve call to repair an oven that had gone pop, got to the door and Phil Collins answers, fixed the oven, got a massive tip. He was a nice geezer too.
Oh.
He's a Zanussi lover.
Did this lead up to that? That was very good.
I didn't prep for that. That was just off the cuff. So honestly, you can check my notes there. I just sort of saw the shit opportunity and went for it.
I was waiting for some sort of joke about a delivery guy working with Mark Knopfler. And that wants your money for nothing.
The Weekend Fest Hall.
Okay, number one in the ones that caught my attention this week was someone who said, dry liner here. And do you know what a dry liner is?
I don't actually know what that is.
It's someone who works in building, okay?
Oh, okay. I know what that is, yes.
Okay, good. Can you tell me what it is then?
okay, what am I understanding? Am I the Carl Pilkington character in this podcast? As I understand it, you don't want water to get into your building. And so you put like a kind of membrane around the building to keep out the wet. And that would be the dry liner.
I just wasn't listening to you at all then, because I was just realizing if you're Carl Pilkington, that makes me Ricky Gervais.
I didn't say I was the loser in that equation.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the worst insult, isn't it? Okay, I'll read this out. Dry liner here. On every new build, I used to piss in an empty bottle and put it in the wall cavity and board it up. And I wasn't the only person to do this. So basically, all the new builds around Sports City, them nice apartments near Man City's ground, are full of piss.
Because the dry liner won't let it get out.
I quite enjoyed some of the responses to this, because it got picked up by someone who was a sort of like a, got a PhD in archaeology. It's kicked off this whole thread of archaeologists discussing it, going, this is something that needs to be repeated and repeated again, that not every object that's inexplicable is ritual. Sometimes it's laziness and malice.
That's a classic archaeology thing, isn't it? Where if you can't explain it, you go, perhaps it had some religious significance.
Perhaps it was a fertility rite or something.
So that's exactly the thing.
And no, it's some really angry Egyptian who just wanted to fill the pyramids full of piss because he was angry at Ramesses.
Never mind the archaeologists. I think future paleontologists, these will turn into oil in the future. Little reserves of oil in Manchester.
In little bottles.
Mm-hmm.
There was also Kirsty NZB, who says, I'm trying to imagine a point in my life so utterly devoid of life that the only thing I have to look forward to is occasionally depositing a bottle of piss in the wall.
I mean, all in all, it's just another bottle of piss in the wall, isn't it?
Okay, we'll do another section, and this is called Just a Few That Make Us Laugh.
It just made us laugh. Fesshole. It just made us laugh. Ha-ha. Fesshole.
Okay, so it's just a section of like three that made us laugh. Okay, I'll read them out. A fess on behalf of my cat who pretends to dislike my dog. How do I know she pretends? Because I recently got home CCTV installed and I can see from my desk at work that she grooms him and she snuggles him on the couch when I'm not there. That poor dog is being emotionally abused by the cat.
Gaslit by a cat. I can't say that I'm actually surprised to find that behaviour in a cat. If any animal's going to do that, it's going to be a cat, isn't it?
Any animal's going to be a two-faced little shit. It's going to be a cat. Okay, the second one that made me laugh this week.
Whenever I stay away from home with work, which is about every other week, I try and book different hotels to my colleagues. That way, I don't have to listen to work chat at breakfast and work chat at dinner time. I've had enough of that at work, oddly enough, you boring fucks. That's a personal message, clearly, to my colleagues. Oh, please not.
I'm normally happy enough to, like, stay with colleagues in hotels. It's like an opportunity to get pissed with them and it's quite fun. Is that not your experience?
I do find that if I try and socialise, I am one of the boring fucks, basically. Because yeah. I find like you go for lunch and you can actually have a conversation about something that you're doing at work and you don't have to keep getting interrupted by other people asking you to do more work. So you can actually do things. Oh.
I liked one of the comments, which was from someone who called themselves It's David, hopefully not you. And they said, I even bought a caravan to get away from them.
That's, oh, I see.
You see.
You can go away and take your caravan. I thought it was just like, park it up outside work and just go, I'll be in my trailer.
Okay. And the last one that made me laugh this week was...
So Mrs. had told me she wanted sex later, chased kids to bed early and locked the house up before heading upstairs. Found the cat that I'd not seen all day was dead behind the couch. I knew this would upset the missus, so no sex. Therefore, I ignored the cat until the next day.
It seems quite reasonable to me. I think I'd do that.
I think that I wouldn't be able to stop thinking about the cats. I think it would put me off.
She's like, hey, baby.
Were they having sex on the couch while the cat was there?
I don't think the story's implying that, Dave. I'd imagine they're going off to the bed.
It's already off-putting when pets are watching you. To have a dead pet, like, silently, just sort of... Not judging you, obviously, but...
Have you ever had that paranoia where, like, someone you know, or like a relative, maybe die, and then you sort of, like, worried they might be watching you from their new ghost presence?
I have to say, not since I was, like, probably a teenager, but I definitely had that then. I was like, oh, God, they died, and what if somehow they can see...
What if they can see me doing things I might do in the bathroom?
Did not need to be thinking about my granny at this moment.
Have you ever, though, you know, like, the crux of this story was that... I'm going to not use the word crux. It's basically that thing where the cat shits or is sick, and you see it when you get up to go to the loo, and you think... Do I deal with this or do I pretend not to have seen it?
This is a personality flaw, but I find it really hard to ignore it. Once I've seen it, I'm like, right. Oh, because I have tried. And then I just lie there going, oh, there's fucking the shit on the floor. I'm going to tread on it if I don't like sort it out now, because I'll go to sleep and I'll forget. So I have to do it. I have to deal with it.
Yeah. But you're a better person than me.
I'm not saying
all the time. Well, I'm just saying, you know, well, you actually deal with it. You know, like I've definitely, it's not every time I've ignored it, but there has been instances where I've gone, maybe I'll just go back into bed and someone else might get up and see the cat shit everywhere.
Every time you ignore it, you're up to your waist in cat shit at this point. Just like,
I'm drinking my mug going, this is fine. And cat shit's going up in behind
piled
me.
Up.
Highest rated
got three in this section, and number three, we've got one with 12,000 favs, except they don't call them favs anymore, do they? They changed it to likes about 10 years ago.
They call them musks now.
Got 12 million, no, it's 12,000 on your Apple Amstrad Vision Pro.
Your emailer plus.
It would be good, wouldn't it, if it was the Amstrad Vision Pro, and it was like we're walking around with a Amstrad CPC 464 strapped to our heads, and we could play like Roland in Time and Fire Ant all the time.
A small plastic keyboard by your right hand that you can type.
Okay, you can read out at number three, 12,000 fabs.
Left my wife of 22 years for a 26-year-old barmaid. Worst mistake of my life. We have nothing in common. She doesn't know anything about me. We have no inside jokes. Daily, I'm in situations and I think, I can't wait to tell my wife about this. But I fucked it up for an ego boost.
I quite enjoyed some of the reactions to this one because it was a mixture of like basically women going, yes, yes, look, you see. And men saying, that was written by a woman who's pretending to be a man. There was like all this kind of like rows about it online.
I think it rings true in a way, doesn't it? I mean, sort of. I mean, I, this is not a romantic thing, but like I work with people who are considerably younger than me. You make an in-joke about something and then you realise that the pop culture reference is completely lost on them and you're sort of muttering like Grandpa Simpson. And it's horrible.
There's a really, really good web page, like because I know the kids are really into web pages, aren't they? And it's called something like Language for Comedy Writers. This guy has put together like phrases that comedy writers have come up with whilst writing comedy to represent problems they've got when writing. And one that came up by Charlie Brooker was doing a Zamo.
Yeah.
So you write the joke and the punchline ends up being Zamo from Grange Hill. And it gets a big laugh with the writers who are all 40-something and goes out live and just silence in the 20-something audience. So they don't know what the hell you're talking about. Let's cut out all the Zamos from this podcast and see how much is left.
Well, I found myself trying to explain to like a senior foreign editor who Seven Zark Seven was from Battle of the Planets, which is a 1980s cartoon show.
I quite enjoyed one of the comments from Roof Husko, who said, my ex is in his 50s, and after we broke up, I found out he'd been cheating on me for months with a young receptionist at work. They're married now, but I can't imagine they've got much in common. Apart from the fact she's got massive tits and he likes them. Thumbs up.
That was written by a man pretending to be a woman.
And there was Barry Lyndon, who is best known for some
film.
Yeah, it was a film. It was a Stanley Kubrick film, was it? Anyway, Barry Lyndon says, once more, the dildo of consequence arrives without lube.
Goodness.
At number two, coming in for the highest rated at 18,000 likes is...
Wow, do you want to read this? Darling, what's my motivation for this one? Okay, went on a date with an amazing and gorgeous woman who's clearly way out of my league. Sadly, the date didn't go so well as she didn't feel a spark. Driving her home, I spotted a fox attacking a cat. Pulled over and saved the cat. That ignited the spark. Married with two kids now.
Nice. They can only consummate the marriage when watching a fox attacking a cat from now on in.
They need a dead fox under the sofa so they can have sex.
It's the marital aid everyone needs. When you said, like, what's my motivation, did you ever hear that line from Hitchcock when, like, some actor said, What's his motivation?
No.
Yeah, it was basically your motivation is you're getting paid, you stupid twat kind of thing, you know.
Fair enough. This reminds me, there's a lot of the very kind of classic sort of shape of a story of like how you saved somebody and it got you romantic love that this sort of falls into, doesn't it?
Could you turn that into your Richard Curtis rom-com, you're saying?
Save the cat, yeah. I mean, you could write a book called that, couldn't you?
It famously is a book, and that's what you're saying, isn't it?
It's a book
about screenwriting.
Yeah. Yes. But still, married with two kids, gosh. Well done to them.
You're married with one kid.
I know. I only saved half a cat. That's the problem.
My partner's called Cat. At number one in the charts with 20,000 fabs. That's 20,000 people have hammered the like button on this, have smashed the like button, or because it's on Twitter/X, it's just bots just going, okay, this is a popular account. Let's send pointless content here.
I was just happy you noticed, but you will have noticed that the bots on Twitter just have started randomly saying how much they like cats now.
Oh, God.
I assume it's some kind of engagement thing, but they're just like, oh, hey, cats are great, aren't they? It's just like in the middle of a conversation about death.
There was an amazing one the other day that someone shared, which was, so the bot had created apparently an image going, look at the beautiful sunset or something like that. But the code had not triggered it creating the image. And so it was just a description of the image. And then all the bot replies were like, you know, yeah, bro, it's so meaningful. Love this kind of thing. And it was bot feeding on bot feeding on bot.
I saw that. It looked like instead of posting the image, it posted the prompt because it said the image evokes feelings or whatever. Whatever that did. It just triggered the just loads of them.
Yeah. So number one is with 20,000 fabs, and I'll try and read it out. My wife is a 54-year-old manager. She went out for some wine with her friends last night. Today, there is a traffic cone in our hallway. I love her so much.
That's lovely.
It's a sweet one. There's occasionally sweet stories that come through this account. Does your missus do endearing things, Dave?
She falls asleep very easily. As we get older, that's decreasingly an endearing characteristic and just kind of like, oh, yeah, we're getting on a bit, aren't we? But when she was younger, that was quite a cute like thing. She was just like, you'd just find her curled up asleep in the bath or something.
Asleep in the bath?
Yeah. Everywhere. She falls asleep all the time.
Whilst having a bath?
Yeah, I worried a bit about that, to be quite honest with you.
I
got like a thing that would support your neck, but she didn't really.
A noose.
Don't worry, I got a little chair to stand on so it doesn't pull tight. It's fine. Does your missus do anything endearing?
She just sort of like has sequential hobbies, you know, and so become obsessed with something for a bit. And so it was woodworking for a bit, and she'd buy all the kit and start whittling away, then get bored of woodworking. It's all right.
Ooh.
At the moment, it's fish. She's really into fish. So there's like an aquarium in her little home office. And there's like the doorbell keeps ringing with like new fish coming in and sort of endless like trying out different pumps. And then one fish was ill. So she made like a little fish hospital to put it into so it wouldn't make the other fish sick.
That's cute. Did she wrap it in fish bandages?
Fish died, Dave. Fish died. It was tragic.
That is very sad.
Anonopin. 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 Anonopin.
Anonopin, anon_pin, is an anonymous opinion account, which is the sister social media account to Fesshole, where we ask people to send in their opinions and we share them and people talk about them. And it's actually one of my favourite things I've ever done. It never gets quite the press that Fesshole gets, but I just find it endlessly fascinating, the opinions. It's the one I always like replying to. It's my favourite bit. So at number four, the opinion was that Oasis reunion you think you want, you don't really.
I mean, the obvious response is, I don't think I want that.
Fair enough. I absolutely do want an Oasis reunion, not because I want to see a gig, but I accept that a gig might be the horror that you have to experience to get to the good bit. And the good bit would be a documentary where you get the original lineup of like Noel and Liam and Gigsy and Bonehead. And is there one more? Tony McCarroll, and get them all in one room and get them sort of like let the sparks fly. I think that'd be quite fun. Because I don't know if you ever saw the documentary on Genesis, I think the beat made about 10 years ago. And the power of it was you get these awkward people in one room and just sort of see them interacting. Like, who cares about interviewing people separately? It's like Tony Banks just sitting there all hunched up and evil kind of thing.
It does sound great, but I also like the idea of, like, I don't actually want a thing to happen. That's not good. I want to watch a documentary about the thing happening. So whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Just, I don't want to go to a party, but I would love a big documentary about what happened at that party.
That's exactly why I want the Oasis reunion for the party afterwards. Okay, opinion number three. If I can subscribe online, I should be able to cancel online. No phoning or going somewhere physically. It should be illegal.
But then how will you retain subs? How would you retain your subscriber numbers? It's just impractical.
I know the Times makes you phone up. Not that I subscribe to the Times, but I've seen plenty of people moaning about it. The one that I got caught out on once was that gym. Remember in Canary Wharf?
I remember that,
it was called like, yeah.
And, it was a good gym. It had wood panels, which is a sign of a good gym.
I can safely slag it off now because it no longer exists as an entity. It was the Reebok Sports Gym, and they don't exist anymore. They wouldn't let you via email. They wouldn't let you via the website. They wouldn't let you via phone. You had to come in and go for an exit interview. And it was one of the most horrific experiences because they made it really awkward. I had to go at an odd time on their convenience. They'd turn up for this bloody exit interview. And they're kind of really quizzing me. Got this massive kind of thing like, why are you leaving? Why are you leaving?
They're crying.
And I was just like
rending their clothes.
Well, I just was refusing to take part in the sense that I was like, look, I just want to leave. I just want to leave. And like, you know, cause my point was like, I'm not going to give you a reason why I'm leaving because you're going to argue it back to me as I should stay. I'm just leaving. It really got unpleasant. But this person basically going, I can't take this back to my bosses with this kind of thing. You know, I need more than this. It was really horrible.
It was an expensive gym, wasn't it? Which is probably why you get more guilt with the expensive gym.
It was horrible. It was a horrible experience and made me miserable.
Well, I think gyms especially good because their whole business model is you pay money to not go there. So when they say you have to go there to stop paying money, it's, you know.
Very, very good. Opinion number two that I thought was worth talking about was only an absolute monster smothers their chips in ketchup rather than putting it in a neat dipping blob on the corner of their plate.
Agree.
I totally agree with this one.
Yeah.
It drives me mad with my kids. They just slather it all over the bloody chips. I think they do it now knowing that I'm repulsed by chips slathered in ketchup. And so it means they can eat them all themselves.
Do they eat the chips with their fingers?
They just put their heads in the bowls and eat it like a dog.
You put a bag full of chips, hang it around their face. And as they're trotting around the streets, they can...
Raw chips, not even cooked in the oven, in the dog bowl, slathered with not even, just like Aldi sauce.
Non-brewed condiment.
And the last opinion that came up on Nonopin I wanted to talk about was this following sentence or two. It's really unfair that we can't look directly at the sun without damaging our eyes. It's not like I'm trespassing or anything. I'm in my own garden. I should be allowed to look where I want.
Was this Donald Trump wrote this?
I mean, it's obviously someone having a bit of a joke, but there is something really weird about it. It's just like that we've grown up, we don't ever consider how weird it is that there's this facet of our world that we just can't look at. Imagine there was a computer game and you were playing it. It would just be like a bug in the system that if you look over there, your character gets damaged kind of thing.
Yeah, your screen contrast turns down.
There's the jokey version that proves that we're living in a simulation, probably not. But it's sort of like, it does at some level demonstrate what a weird thing life is.
Mm.
I don't mean all the funny old thing life, but that we're living on this bloody rock and there's this burning bit over there. And if we look at it, it burns out our eyes. And we deal with that every day and we don't talk about it.
What I find weird is that for millions of years, we've evolved to live on this place and yet we still can't look at the sun. At what point? This is a big part of the environment.
We haven't got used to it. Evolution.
Sort it out. Come on. I guess the solution was we learn to look away. And all animals look away from the sun.
Yeah.
But there's also the ocean. Like where you go to the seaside and it's nice, but you go a bit too far and you die quite quickly. And you know, call this a hotel.
It's the best. Come as a vessel. The best.
That was my jingle. It's a bit long, but I was enjoying myself with that one.
Very nice. Very nice. Divine Comedy style.
I suppose a bit. The Paul McCartney thing where you hammer a chord and then you just descend down with the other hand, you know, to make it into different chords by cheating, which probably other people do too, but I know from Paul McCartney.
Okay.
We're trying to do best comments on Fessel. Okay, you read out the Fessel and I'll do the comment, yeah?
In the 90s, I worked for a potato merchant. It was a glorious time. Shag loads of staff in the chippies I delivered to and would get as many free sausage dinners as I could eat. Now, I'm a miserable divorced mortgage advisor.
The comment from Peter James was, "You got your honeys for nothing and your chips for free."
Silence. As well as a potato merchant, I feel.
You're going to workshop that joke, improve it.
No, no.
You've got to workshop the actual confession into a different confession.
I want a series of raunchy films based on that guy's confessions of a potato merchant would be a good...
That was exactly my reaction to it. That's not a useful thing for me to say.
Just sounds good. I agree. No, but it would be brilliant. Robin Asquith and, you know, Sid James as the crafty chip shop owner.
Sexy confessions. Was it Confessions of a Couch Potato? That was a terrible film, wasn't it? Yeah.
I don't know. I only know Confessions of a Window Cleaner. So
Love Spud, maybe call it. I don't know.
Yeah, something like the Love Spud, and it's about like Herbie, but potato-y.
And number three, Dave.
Me and the wife have been married for over 20 years and decided to try something new. Long story short, ended up watching Having Sex with a Guy. Fast forward 6 months, he now lives with us and I sleep in the spare room.
Hate to break it to you, but that's not a spare room. It's your room. Thanks, fat Rob Tiger Mask.
Damn. Kicking people while they're down.
Let's open up the marriage to the bin man. Number two.
My workplace hires from all over the country as we all have work from home contracts. They pay far more to those who live in London. I live up north now, but family still live in London. Chuck my uncle £100 a year for having his address as mine at work. Extra £3,000 a year for nothing.
What happens when you zoom in and you're wearing a flat cap and eating a black pudding? It got a lot of fabs, that one. People found it funny when they read it on the screen, not when I delivered it.
I think when you, just the fact is when you zoom in and it's like from a distance,
it looks
normal and it's
he's
like, up close, it's like a tiny gremlin.
How can you say that sentence and make it make sense? What happens when you...
There's a microscope slide and there's a tiny little northerner there eating a black pudding. All right, so I do number one. Wife moans about everything I do. Bought the wrong milk, cooked the onions 30 seconds too early, put the rice on before the curry, washed the clothes on quick wash rather than darks, pegged them out wrong, put the cereal back incorrectly. Bet the divorce papers will be wrong too.
Have you considered doing basic things correctly? Molly Kate Britt says. It is the danger of this account that it just turns into men moaning about their wives, doesn't it?
Basic of comedy.
My mother-in-law
is
a very nice lady.
Do you see all that stuff about mother-in-law jokes, the historical kind of thing of it?
No, what was that?
Because it was about why mother-in-law jokes were such a big thing. And it's because young couples used to live with the wife's family.
Ooh,
and so the mother-in-law was an exceptionally powerful figure in their lives. And so she genuinely would be controlling their lives.
And presumably it's like something that's happening again, maybe, given that house prices are obscene and it's like... people are living with their parents for longer and longer and longer.
That's true, actually. We're going to have a resurgence of mother-in-law jokes. I'm going to get mine in now.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably... plenty of them are out of copyright by now, and you could sort of, like, republish them, put a few references to sort of, like, Zoom meetings and TikToks, whatever the kids are into these days.
Yes. I just try to just... hopelessness of trying to work in, like, some kind of TikTok dance reference with the... my mother-in-law's so mean.
She needs two TikToks to film her.
You did it. You successfully did it, at least. We could let it go.
And now it's time for the outro. Our producer tells us we need to encourage listeners to subscribe, rate and review wherever they get their podcasts. Dave, can you tell them this?
Our producer tells us we need to encourage listeners to subscribe, rate and review, quote unquote, wherever they get their podcasts.
And to finish on a nice note, Fessel isn't just about horror. It can be sweet. Dave, read this one.
I will. Work from home in an admin job, so I have very little human interaction. I grow plants on my desk that I've given names and talked to. Irene just won Plant of the Week for the most growth, which is fantastic, as she's never been the same since we lost Bertie to root rot.
Bye!
Goodbye! Bye, goodbye, everybody!
Plants.
Bye,
plants! Bye, little dying plants on the desk!
Oh.
I hope you're all dead next week and stay dead. I hate plants!
I like pulling leaves off and eating them.